Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Inside Secrets of the Caribbean. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back Virna Bharath. How are you?
Hi, Rhea. I'm well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you once again.
Yeah, well, you know what? We keep having you come back, and it's always for the same reason. And I'm very sorry to hear that because, you know, when we first talked to you probably about 8 months ago, you had great plans. You were heading off to the U.S., yourself and your husband, and you had, you know, wonderful, amazing things ahead of you. And then, of course, COVID had different plans. We talked, I think it was about 4 months ago, the last time. What has changed in Trinidad and Tobago since that time? You know, has it improved? Has it gotten worse? Has it stayed the same? What's going on there right now?
So Rhea, when we last spoke, the largest number of deaths reported in a 24-hour period was 9. However, within the past three-week window, we saw numbers increasing to as high as 23 deaths in a 24-hour period, and an average of 500 new positive cases daily. Now, just yesterday, we saw up to 637 new positive cases within a 24-hour period. For the month of May, we have seen 310 deaths, and we have just over 7,000 persons in home quarantine. We have also seen an increase in the fatality rate of younger persons. It's something that I would have mentioned to you as well. Now, that is those persons under 60 years old. We are seeing an increase rising from just under 30% to 36%. We continue to see more males among the fatality figures. However, there has been an 8% increase in women among those figures within recent times. So things have not really improved to a great extent since we spoke last.
Well, let's put that into perspective. What is the population or the approximate population of Trinidad and Tobago?
So we have roughly 1.4 million persons in Trinidad and Tobago. So I'd like to also talk to you a little bit about the vaccination process, you know, given that our population is 1.4 million. Our Prime Minister indicated that we are in a better place with acquiring vaccines. We've made two substantial payments for the procurement of vaccines that will enable us to really accelerate our vaccination program. Now, in the next 6 to 8 weeks, we can expect to see an acceleration of the vaccination process with a steady flow of vaccines coming in. Our Prime Minister has really indicated that the aim is to vaccinate as many in the population as possible. We just recently received 10,000 doses of vaccines from Grenada. We've also had a confirmation of a shipment of Sinopharm vaccines coming in. So far, we have just over 93,000 persons vaccinated with the first dose and over 1,000 persons fully vaccinated. Now, the second dose rollout is expected to continue this month, June, and our health minister has indicated that by July, August, there should be roughly 134,000 fully vaccinated people. All right, so that's something to look forward to, and we really hope things will go smoothly with that as well.
Well, you know, talking about the healthcare system, last time your healthcare system was teetering. Now that the cases have increased and the deaths have increased, what is happening with your healthcare system? Is it managing?
So thankfully, over the last week, our overall occupancy has been just under the 75% level, and this is due to the increased number of hospital beds. Over the past month, the number of hospital beds, it has been tripled, and this past week, there was an increase of 15% of ward-level beds. Now, the number of COVID-19 admissions, it's interesting to note, as it continues to increase, we are seeing the same rate in which persons are being discharged from hospitals. So the hospital admission rate and the discharge rates, they're pretty much the same.
Okay. Now, you guys are still in a state of emergency, correct?
Yes.
I know different parts of the world have different types of state of emergency. So what does it look like for you guys there?
So since May 16th, we had a state of emergency and curfew implemented where movement is restricted for us here between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. We have essential workers reporting for duty with supermarkets, pharmacies and essential businesses remaining open but with limited hours. The state of emergency is expected to be in effect for 3 months. We're hoping things improve, so perhaps they can, cut down on that time frame. But we're hoping to see cases significantly decline. On public holidays, like, the curfew hours are from 10 a.m. to 5 a.m. the following day. And again, this is to limit movement and congregating, because, in Trinidad and Tobago, we have a culture. It's always a line. It's always a gathering. Even at home, you'd notice a lot of people. We have a lot of extended families in Trinidad and Tobago, a lot of people living under the same roof. So it's a challenge for us here, as many other parts of the world.
Well, do you find, you've just said that the cases are increasing. So is it effective?
Well, because of that exact reason, the fact that we have a lot of home quarantine, so you have, it's been challenging, because you're seeing that persons who are infected, they are asked to use a separate washroom. They are asked to be in isolation in a room, but how practical is it? Rarely, certain homes, they just have one restroom where everyone, would use that particular restroom because of the layout of homes. Bedrooms are perhaps even shared. So you would hardly find a home where one person is infected and they were successful in, preventing other members of the family from also contracting that virus. Fortunately, there are those who were successful, but unfortunately, inevitably, in some instances, you're finding that entire households are becoming infected.
Well, when we're talking about these kind of, instances, of course, people are going to be financially affected. And when they're financially affected, their mental health is affected. It's like an avalanche, as it were. It starts small at the top and then it just starts coming downhill. How are people coping, both financially and mentally, right now?
Yeah. Well, it has been extremely challenging for many people, as expected. There have been many job losses, even those who were thinking of preparing food items, as I think I mentioned to you in our very first interview about our resilience and people finding alternative ways of earning an income. People have been preparing food items and that sort of thing. But because of the lockdown and the curfew and certain restrictions placed on street vending, it's no longer an option with those current regulations. There are many who are unable to feed their families, Rhea, those who cannot pay their rent, those who are facing eviction, those who cannot afford loan payments. So it is challenging for many. It is a bitter pill to swallow, but the population has been told that it is now a matter of life over livelihood, all about trying to save lives at this point. There have been some grants that are being offered to some who have lost jobs during this time due to the COVID-19 lockdown measures. Now, it is also noteworthy that there are many good Samaritans among us who are working to ensure they assist families in need where possible. There are some landlords who are being gracious towards their tenants during this challenging time as we all try to be our brother's keeper. The pressure is also undoubtedly being felt by our healthcare practitioners, our ward attendants, our doctors, our nurses, those who are working around the clock to clean and sanitize our healthcare facilities. However, there are several groups, such as the Supermarkets Association of Trinidad and Tobago, who have embarked on a massive food drive for frontliners, providing hot meals daily to them. So there are some who have lost jobs in the restaurant and tourism sector, and guess what? They are now turning to agriculture and hydroponics. So this may very well be a silver lining, because our country is a net importer of food, with an exorbitant food import bill. So this switch to agriculture by many may hopefully help us along with our ability to feed ourselves in the future. So yes, it is not without challenges, and we are doing the best that we can as a people to fight the virus. Our prime minister has indicated that our levels of infection are still high, but there is some indication that if these regulations and measures continue, we can see less infection. So the prime minister has also urged the population to stay the course, and that soon we should be in a better place. However, there have been many who are being affected mentally. Therefore, the use of platforms such as WhatsApp, Google Meet, virtual meetings, and calls are being encouraged with family members, friends, and loved ones, all right, to keep those lines of communication essentially open, really. This has been identified as a critical component in preserving our mental health and to avoid feelings of extreme isolation. Group chats have also been found to be quite useful among many during this time, and some healthcare professionals are encouraging, like, they are coming on social media to help the population to cope. And they are saying the practice of self-care and planning your day by writing down tasks and goals, finding ways to be productive and, you know, having a being patient with yourself, essentially. You know, so those are some of the advice that are being put forward there, because it is definitely taking a toll on many, and people are just trying to do whatever possible to get through it.
Well, and we did talk last time, I'm under the understanding that many countries, they have sort of relief packages. They've got sort of certain amounts of money that they give to the population every month in the middle of the pandemic. You don't have that sort of baseline there in Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, our government has, even when we had our first lockdown in place, the government had put some things in place, even food baskets and that sort of thing, grants being put forward as well to really help persons. Of course, you know, it would definitely go a long way. But at the end of the day, the impact is so grave that, you know, some may wonder if this is just a drop in the bucket. But there are measures being made, not just by our government, but many, you know, in the private sector and civil society as well.
So what do you see for the future? Is this just going to be a hang tight and sit tough for another few months and see if we can weather through, and hopefully it goes away? Or do you think that it may be a little bit longer before you guys can get back to living at least a new normal?
I think we are more confident now because of the fact that we are seeing a lot of vaccines coming in,
right,
and we have a very rigorous plan in place to ensure that vaccination drive, you know, takes place as seamlessly as possible. So we are pretty confident that in the next couple of weeks, we will begin to see an improvement and a reduction in the number of cases and even deaths. So as I mentioned before, we are a resilient people. We might be a little bit hard-headed at times when it comes to, you know, avoiding those congregations and meeting up and that sort of thing. But I think because the vaccination, that issue of vaccination is no longer a big issue for us, and we are seeing things happening, I think we are pretty confident.
Well, you know what, that it's a bit of bad news and a bit of good news all at the same time. And you know what? I wish you all the very best. And I hope that things continue to go in the direction that they're going, and that we can see the changes and that you can get yourself over to the US where you were sort of headed a year ago.
Yes, actually, we had our tickets already purchased. And, you know, when the lockdowns happened, we had to postpone our trip and that sort of thing. But, you know, we are hopeful that in the near future, we will be able to travel back and forth again. So we look forward to that.
Wonderful. Well, you'll have to keep us up to date as usual. It's been a pleasure, Fiona.
Thank you so much, Ria. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Once again, you have been listening to Verna Barath. She is a news anchor, amongst many things, journalist in Trinidad and Tobago. We have been talking about what Trinidad and Tobago look like right now in the midst of the pandemic. You've been watching another issue of Inside the Secrets of the Caribbean. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next week.